Tonight's Hunted Recap is sponsored by NatureBox. Save 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/RHAP. That's a better deal than Mary Scott Valentine got from the Hunters. So start snacking healthier and save 50% off your first order at naturebox.com/RHAP. Coming to you live from the Command Center, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who also one time shaved his head as part of a competition. I am Rob Sisterino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Hunted episode number four, night four of Hunted, as we are back on the run once again. And really, I think this is like the midway point of Hunted, because then we have just, I think, 3 weeks left after tonight. So let's get into it with our pair on the run. I almost said couple, but I don't want to give people the wrong impression. Our pair on the run. First, we have a man who is currently deleting his internet iCloud history to avoid all incriminating search results. Kurt Clark, Kurt, how are you?
Good. Just if you just kind of hang here while I get my ice, we can start at any moment now. Just wait. Okay.
Perfect. Okay. And also a woman who is removing me from the mentions at the front of her autobiography, Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. Who needs Survivor when you've got Hunted?
Yeah, we're back. 1 month from tonight, March 8th, will be the start of the Survivor Game Changers. But it was a game-changing night on Hunted, as we got to see three of our teams that are out on the run continue their quest to evade the Hunters. And we even got to meet English and Steven. And what a huge get, Kurt, for Hunted to get Steven King to appear on the show. I am a huge fan of all of his books. So really, I wonder if he will dedicate one of the books to the people from Hunted.
I know. I was looking at that pair and I was wondering, like, which one was the dark half? Who was going to put who through misery? I've got the whole list here, Rob.
Yeah.
So I'm just warning you ahead of time.
Stephen King and English King on the run, Liana.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything is just look shining for them. Hopefully they'll be able to take the stand. And I'm really looking for them. They'll be able to evade Salem's Lot.
Okay.
Yeah, we hope. And if they, I hope they eat too, because they can't get any thinner. They'll just turn into a bag of bones.
Yes. Okay.
This is the desperation I'm appealing right now.
Right. All right. Well, a lot to get to here tonight. How are you guys doing? Liana, good week?
Yeah. It's been a pretty good week. You know, things are going well. I'm actually, I have a fun fact. So in light of the season 34 cast dropping, I actually have a Hunted connection to Survivor.
Yes.
So this shout out goes to Derek for bringing me this information. But Jermaine Finks, who is on Team Bravo, he apparently was on the reality show Top Shot, which is that shooting competition show.
Oh, wow.
And which is hosted by none other than Colby Donaldson from Survivor.
Wow, only 3 degrees of separation from us to Colby Donaldson.
Pretty exciting.
This is amazing. This is amazing news.
Just showstopper, game changer, if you will.
Yes, a full tilt one, no less. Also, Kurt, the whole internet, the whole Huntedverse has been talking about the breakout star of Hunted, Mary Scott Valentine. Kurt, she was all over the place.
Yeah. And she suddenly, I think, you know, maybe like created a Twitter account. Yeah. And I'm like, is it really her? And, you know, I still say MSV for MVP. I'm still kind of pulling for that now.
Yes. Well, Mary Scott Valentine, but we talked about it on the show last week that she was hunted by the internet trolls that were really coming for her to snatch her wig. On Twitter, there was even an I hate Mary Scott Valentine, or this is why I hate Mary Scott Valentine Facebook group that people were joining. But she was a good sport and started to respond to some of her haters. She even apparently listened to the podcast last week. I did invite her to come on the show, but at this time she has refused an invitation to join us. So I'm sorry to say.
Next week is Mary Scott Valentine's Day, so perhaps we will get a surprise.
Maybe.
Well, you know, she and I are friends on Facebook now. I'm just really worried if she starts liking my posts.
Yes, then she'll give you up if the hunters ever come for you, Liana.
I know, I'm a little terrified.
Okay. All right, well, why don't we start off our conversation tonight with another team that is now behind bars? I don't know what to say, that not racing anymore, not being hunted, is no longer hunted.
Sitting on the side of the road because they didn't put them in the back of a cop car or anything.
Yep. Sentra and Thu gave new meaning to making a run for the border when a trip to Taco Bell went awry, like many trips to Taco Bell have gone awry, but not for the same reasons, Kurt.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, odd choice. I mean, maybe you're just craving that, but
this was the Harold and Kumar go to Taco Bell episode of Hunted.
They just wanted to live Moss.
Live Moss, yes. Well, there are no Moss after this one. And so it was, yeah, a run to Taco Bell that would prove to be the fatal flaw. Is this a big takeaway that the hunted contestants should take from this, Liana?
To not go to Taco Bell or to not go to fast food places. I think that probably you should try and stay away from the Taco Bell, but that doesn't actually have anything to do with being hunted. Mm-hmm. But Taco Bell, it's interesting because they also have a very strong social media presence. So I feel like even if they weren't caught by the hunters, some intern at Taco Bell might have tweeted something out about them. It would have been a problem either way.
Kurt, that was one expensive chalupa.
Yes, it was. And I don't think it was necessarily the trip to Taco Bell that was their undoing. It was like a Lemony Snicket capture. It was a series of unfortunate events for Sentra and Two. And it just kind of culminating in this from them not thinking, oh, those cameras on the road are just there to monitor traffic, to let's stop in the parking lot and eat instead of going back to the campground. I think the big thing we've learned is that if you're spending several days on the road camping successfully, keep doing it, because the moment you stop is the moment you're no longer in the game.
Yeah. In hindsight, it may have been a mistake to eat the Taco Bell in a parking lot of a strip mall. That might have been the fatal mistake, even worse than eating a Taco Bell.
Let's eat this somewhere nice, like in a parking lot overlooking the rest of the mall.
Right. Okay. So let's follow the saga of Sentra and Two. It was not a particularly long run for them on Hunted. I think we just got to meet them last week, and we got to meet their friend Rob last week, who turns out to be the Rob that really sucks, Liana. He helps them, but he's not really putting up a brave face to the Inquisition of the Hunters.
Yeah, but to be fair, Hunter Jackie is super intense. Mm-hmm. I think I would just crumble if she started talking to me that way. I probably with tears as well. So I get where Rob is coming from.
So they want to check the attic, Kurt. do we have a hot tip that Sentra and Two might be in an attic?
Oh, I think they it's a ranch house. So I guess all ranch houses have attics, apparently. And that's some place that they might be hiding. I found it really interesting, because I think this is one of those instances again where this is something that Andy Denhart talked about in his article, is that there's certain kind of rules to the game that we aren't necessarily being told that make the transparency just kind of breaks that fourth wall a little bit. And so I'm thinking it sounds like there's something going on where, if you do harbor the fugitives, in part, that also kind of makes you open to having your home searched. Because there was this whole scene where command center is telling Jackie, you have to get in the house. And Jackie's basically telling Rob, you have to let me in. Like, this isn't a warrant situation. And so I think there must be something going on that just we're not being told in terms of the logistics of this, where, if you take them in, then you have to kind of sign a release saying that, the hunters can search your house or something like that. Again, that's part of the problem, is we're not being told what it is. But and there seemed to also be something as Jackie was interrogating Rob, where, like, maybe you can't lie, but you have to tell the truth or something.
What? What kind of rule is this?
I don't see why, any reason why he couldn't lie. It's not like he's on the stand and could commit perjury.
I'm trying to defend Rob here as not sucking as much as he seemed to on the show. But like, he's basically, she's saying you have to tell me the truth, and he's saying, well, I deleted it from my phone. I don't know what number they called me from. Let me get that ladder for you as you search my attic. But you know, part of it, I think, is also the fact that, you know, production knows that Sentra and Two aren't there. So it's like, you know what? Let's work with Rob to make sure that they get full access to the house just so that they can be proven wrong.
Maybe.
If somebody says, you have to tell me the truth, do you have to tell them the truth?
Well, again, I don't right? Based on the rules of the game that we don't know, I don't know. It just seemed like there was some kind of subtext to the way that Jackie and Rob were interacting, where I think he felt pressured to have to say what was going on. But there was like this strange subtext there. I wasn't quite sure what was going on. But, you know, long story short is it really doesn't matter, because, you know, it was kind of one of those 24 moves where they're busting into the house and we think that they're there, but they're actually on the road 120 miles away.
Yeah. In fairness, I do use the you have to tell me the truth move on my son.
Does it work?
You're not allowed to lie to me. You have to tell me what's happening. Yeah.
So. Does it work?
No, not really.
Okay.
He's just like, oh, yeah, well, I forgot. Yeah.
I guess it worked better on Rob than it does on your children. So.
Yes. Okay. So Rob ultimately gives up the information that he dropped them off at a coffee shop, which then leads the hunters to start checking more CCTV. Kurt, we heard so much about CCTV in the chase for Sentra and Two.
Yeah, Kurt Clark TV. The hunters called me and asked for footage and access, and I dealt with Commander Clark, so we've got that in. And yeah.
All the shows on CCTV always tend to get canceled after one season. Why is that, Kurt?
They have to erase the tapes after 48 hours or something. I don't get it.
Oh, that makes sense.
But yeah, but it sounded like, I thought that we'd lost the Xterra completely, but it sounds like they parked the Xterra at this coffee shop. Rob picked them up there and then dropped them back off again. So it was kind of just a quick visit to Rob's to freshen up and then hit the road again to go camping.
Yeah.
Well, can I just make a point about, in Rob's defense, Rob's wife was in her bathrobe. Did you guys catch that?
No.
And then poor Rob, when Jackie finally busts in through the door, Rob's like, please be polite to my wife. I just wanted to point that out. That was intense. I guess you can't get away even if you're just in a bathrobe.
Yeah, at that point, I didn't realize that they weren't in the house. I thought he was like making up a story, like Rob's not even married or something. But apparently they weren't there. And I'm guessing that Mrs. Rob was indeed in a bathrobe. And we can add her to the long list of spouses of friends who are not happy with Hunted.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
The number one way to ruin a marriage is to harbor one of the Hunted or pair of the Hunted contestants against the wishes of your significant other.
Yes.
So we start to see about a plan that the hunters have, that they are scanning for license plates. Seems like that Lenny is taking the lead on this, Liana.
Okay, here's the deal with the CCTV cameras. Okay, you know how in a lot of procedural shows, they always have the enhancing and then they zoom in and it's a digital zoom?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, no. This is not how CCD or CMOS cameras work. You have a fixed number of digital pixels. You're not changing the lens. I mean, unless those cameras are super high resolution, like, I just don't, like, come on, that part has to be fabricated. They had to have gotten that license plate from somewhere else.
I don't know, but it's funny that you mentioned that, because I saw a bunch of news articles yesterday about how there's a thing called Google Brain and that it actually is going to have the enhance and zoom feature. Like, that's going to be a real thing, but it does not seem that in June of 2016, when it seems like Hunted was recorded, that was a thing.
Okay, well, maybe our Google overlords will figure it out soon enough and we can actually have enhance and zoom.
Okay, so why? What are you saying? Are you thinking again that the hunters have broken the fourth wall, which does in a lot of ways make it easier to find the people they're looking for when a room only has three walls?
Well, I do. I think that okay, here's the deal. I think that they are getting the information in a legitimate way, but I think that sometimes the way the show strings it together makes it seem invalid and that there's no way it could have happened, when really they're taking kind of bits and pieces of information and just kind of summing it all into one, because otherwise it might take longer to explain on the TV show.
Mm-hmm. Because there was one scene, it was for a different capture, I believe, and we'll get to it, but where it seems like Teresa back in Command Center, it looks like she's kind of just going down a sushi menu and checking off the different kind of things that she wants to look for. And then the way we know the show works is they kind of make these information requests and give them to production, who kind of acts as an intermediary with the information that they do get back. And it's just something, they're just going down a list, like, oh, we'll take one of these and we'll take one of these, and like, yeah, let's search this person and let's just put a tracker on everybody. But in this case, yeah, I'm wondering if they got the license plate in a you know, less sexy manner, or if it's even just like, you know, we now actually have a more clear shot of the license plate because they didn't, you know, carefully back out of the parking lot. And so, you know, they might have just fudged a little bit and said, you know, well, in some world, maybe, you know, we'd be able to enhance this and read it. Production, can you tell us what the license plate is? Because we got, you know, kind of a blurry shot of it. So it'll be interesting.
I like to think that all their information comes on a conveyor belt if they're ordering it like sushi.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that kind of thing. That's perfect. They don't have that at Taco Bell, do they?
just in the command center.
The command center. Okay. So this is the point where Sentra and Two have reached the halfway mark. And much like the merge feast, Kurt, they decide that they need to go and reward themselves for a half job well done.
Let's put reward in quotes, because they're not a sponsor of the podcast, so I can say this, but they went to Taco Bell.
Yes. Are you not a Taco Bell fan, Kurt? I feel like that this is always polarizing.
Here's the thing. I'm okay with Taco Bell. I don't think it would have been something that I would have been like really, really, really craving. But yeah, it's I
they
just
have
think
a crave
that, like,
box, right?
I guess
not a slave box to be confused with what we hooked up to Tinder.
Yeah, I just think that if I'd had the choice, I would have gone for something that, yes, I'm sure that after like a certain amount of time that's going to be pretty tasty. And you know, Pengi on Twitter tweeted to us, let's be real, Taco Bell after 14 days on the run would be insanely good. Okay, but imagine something really good, how amazing it would taste. Like, mm-hmm. let's raise the bar. I'm just kind of, yeah, stuck on the whole.
Also cheap, Kurt. Don't forget, they're on a budget.
Yeah, she's a gamer, so maybe it's like the only place she could get her, you know, Arctic Blast Mountain Dew. I don't know.
Yeah, Baja Blast. Shout out to Baja Blast Mountain Dew.
Yeah, thank you. I was trying to remember the name. And yeah, I know. Just like, go somewhere different. I don't know.
Liana, can you make the Taco Bell fans in the audience feel any better after Kurt's one-star review of Taco Bell?
Yeah, Kurt's completely wrong. I love Taco Bell. I have eaten a Taco Bell far too many times than I would like to admit. I love the Mexican pizzas. They're my favorite. The chalupas are great. If anybody is interested, I can talk about Taco Bell all day long.
Okay. It's a great food for road trips because it's very easy to kind of handle while you're driving, and so it doesn't get over the place. It's kind of a self-contained tube of food, and their 7-layer burritos are great. I will give you that. You know, but in terms of, you're going to stop there and just kind of bask in the moment in the parking lot of a strip mall, I just wouldn't go for a Taco Bell.
Okay. That's my plan for Valentine's Day. Eat Taco Bell at a strip mall.
Yeah, I'm not a Taco Bell guy either, just to break the tie, sadly. I'm team CCTV on this one.
Hot take.
Okay. But anyway.
Fire take.
Yes. So we end up seeing a little bit of a chase that looks like we found the X-Terra. It does not turn out to be the X-Terra. We end up following Sentra and Two to Taco Bell, and they end up like finding some bro. And they're like, hey, can you go buy us Taco Bell?
At least they found that guy instead of a chihuahua.
Yeah. Why couldn't they go buy Taco Bell themselves, Kurt? Did you have any idea what would have been the problem?
Well, they didn't want to go through the drive-thru because there was a camera there. And I'm wondering if there was maybe some limitation to going into like someplace with all the branding. I mean, they said Taco Bell, so it shouldn't really matter. But like maybe like production bringing the kind of the stealth camera in there wouldn't have been necessarily allowed. Maybe the footage would have been less easy to use if they'd been caught in a Taco Bell versus if they'd been caught in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. But that's the only thing I can think of. Otherwise, like maybe less, you know, fewer eyes on them in if they just kind of go through the drive through. But this way, they just get one guy to do their dirty work. They avoid the cameras. They avoid multiple witnesses, I guess. And he seemed willing to do it.
Liana, has Hunted changed your perception of the kindness of strangers at all? Because I feel like that I had a very bleak worldview coming into this show, but just seeing all the people that are just such good Samaritans and always just helping random people that are seemingly on the run for committing a crime, people just seem like that they have an endless supply of charity for these people.
There's just so much love in the world.
Yes.
Especially when you have a camera crew. That might aid in the kindness of strangers. There's also people willing to turn. I think everybody's just willing to help anybody as long as there's a camera crew there. They'll help the hunters. They'll help the fugitives. I don't think people are particularly concerned about which side.
let's revisit this question when we get to the story of Stephen in English, though, shall we?
Okay, I guess so. So do you think, Kurt, it was more that, okay, here we have like two young women and then there's like some dopey guy who's heading into Taco Bell that he's willing to help them with whatever their problem is?
Well, I think he also saw we talked a little bit about this last week with the dude bros, like the fact that I think he kind of sees the camera person in the back seat. So, okay, there's something going on here. And it wasn't really until the camera person hid in the dude bros and we meet the boat couple, that they actually felt that they had to actually take time to convince somebody. So I think I definitely agree with Liana that having the camera there definitely helps matters usually.
That's why they need to do it like the candid camera shows. People are always jerks on those, right?
Yeah.
Where are those people?
So you think that we need some sort of like Google Glass version of Hunted for next season?
Yes.
That'd be good.
We've got two glass holes on the run.
All right, we got two glass holes making it run. They're coming out of the Apple Store. Yeah, no, I suppose they go to the Google Store.
I think they need I've also seen this idea thrown around, but dressing up your cameramen. So like you're out in the woods, right? And you put the guy in a tree costume and then you're good to go.
The guy like the is evil a tree walking around?
Yeah. He's like, you know, you've seen those like child's plays, right? Where it's like, oh, I'm the kid who played the tree. Well, you get one of those costumes, obviously more realistic. And then I think you would, you know, not have to deal with that issue.
Yeah.
I'm picturing like the evil trees from Wizard of Oz that are like throwing apples.
How do you like them apples? Yeah. How do you like them tacos? So we end up seeing then the hunters have spotted Sentra and Two. They end up parking in a position where Sentra and Two can't get away. And we see that Sentra and Two are really just beside themselves about this whole situation.
Two Tran?
Sentra Tran?
Time on the run is over.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just like, wait, what?
And she's getting the perp walk with a chalupa in her hand, which is like the best part of the entire episode.
Yeah.
When they knocked on the window, she's like mid bite.
Mm-hmm. Right. She was busted with taco in hand. What was that? Did you say that was more of a burrito, Liana?
It was a burrito. Yeah, it was definitely a bean burrito.
Yeah.
No. I just played some Grand Theft Auto today, so my mind is still in the mindset of just slam on the gas and like plow over that embankment and into the parking lot and take off. But
yeah, get
I'm
out
guessing
of here.
that would not be allowed.
No, they just couldn't get over the idea of being busted at Taco Bell, that the hunters were taking them away and they're still like complaining.
You have to come with us.
No way.
This really sucks.
I know. I feel like I'm gonna throw up right now.
It might be the Taco Bell.
This goes back to the whole what's the experiment versus the control in the situation in terms of
right.
Let's analyze why you're feeling this way.
None is it because of the you other got contestants after being caught had an impulse to throw up. We did not hear Matt and Christina talk about vomiting. We didn't hear Troy and Shelley talk about throwing up. Only the two girls that went to the Taco Bell drive-thru and sat in the parking lot are talking about feeling like that they are going to be ill.
I feel like I'm going to throw up right now.
Now, what really sucks? The taco?
They just don't sound really concerned at all. Like, oh, that really sucks. Like, I tried to buy my foundation today and they were out of it. Oh, I feel like I'm going to throw up.
Oh, I wanted to go see the movie at 4:15, but it's sold out. We got to go at 5:30.
Seriously? Oh.
No way.
They did kind of broadcast this a little bit, because there was the whole, before they go on to their long trek and final journey to Taco Bell, there's like, I don't want to sound cocky, but you're like, okay, yep, this is going to be the last fast food you eat.
I've seen that editing trick before.
Yeah. This was your last taquito, Centra. That's it.
Your taquito on the run is over.
You're through.
You have to come with us.
No way.
Sorry. All right. Another case closed. Their time on the run is over. So, Liana, how many of these perps have we put behind bars now?
Is this five?
So, Matt and Christina.
Five? How many?
Angela and Michelle, Troy and Shelly, Centra and Two, and Miles and Will. So, five right, down, so four five. To go. We're more than halfway home.
Yeah. Wow. I think the interesting thing was that apart from Stephen and English, the three teams we saw today were all on day 14. So I think that was kind of an interesting starting point there, or at least kind of central point in terms of all of them were about halfway through their journeys.
It's going to be interesting because, again, there's only, I think, three nights left of Hunted and only four teams left in play. So it'll be interesting to see how many of these teams are going to go the distance, because I feel like it'll be weird if we end up getting to the final episode or even next week where only like two teams are in the mix. Like, I feel like that Hunted probably needs at least, I think, three teams to sort of be in action. I think that that's the least amount that we've seen. I think that was in the premiere, Kurt, that we had three teams.
Yeah, I think that's your Amazing Race bias, though, in terms of always seeing three teams at the end.
maybe. Okay. Yeah. So then I guess let's check back in with the continuing adventures of Arif and Ahmad. They closed the episode on a very tense haircut, Liana.
Oh my gosh. It was the classic head shaving cliffhanger.
So who knows? At least like they're changing their look in a way that is actually good. It's the first time on this show. And we've seen Matt and Christina wear a stupid wig. We saw Miles or Will dye their hair. Now, finally, it looked like Arif was going to do something. We didn't see Ahmad changing up his look, though. I don't know if it does any good to have now a completely smooth, hairless Arif with a exactly same looking Ahmad.
No, if it's completely smooth, let's not go there. But it's a small bathroom in a camper. So maybe this was just like I think we've been overkill to see both of them shaving their heads at the end of this episode. I think you get the impact of one of them and then he'll move out and then you get the other one. But I imagine we'll see two freshly shaven Arif and Ahmad for the next episode.
So we see Arif and Ahmad in the kayak like we picked up from the end of last week's episode. So they are headed down the stream or river on their way to go find an ATM. The hunters have a laptop from Arif and Ahmad. Liana, could you refresh my memory? Where did they get this laptop from?
So they had found this laptop. I think it was in the very first episode that we were introduced to Arif and Ahmad. And this is Arif's laptop. And they were able to, this is when we learned that delete doesn't really mean delete. And they were able to recover all that information.
Hold on. So they were Googling, can you kayak from one place to another before they got a kayak seemingly randomly from a woman at one of these compounds?
Yeah, I was a little lost on that. Maybe it was they were looking on the website kayak for flights.
Oh,
I'm not sure.
Can we take a flight from one place to another? Yeah.
Can we kayak from Myrtle Beach to Daytona? Can we orbits from Charleston to Atlanta?
I'm going
to
kayak into New York in March. So, yeah, that's a good move. That's a good move. Maybe that's how they got started with so many people doing Google searches for kayak. They just said, let's jump on that SEO. It's a good move.
Yeah, maybe this is their, you know, Bavid and Emily with the fake car thing. Like, this is their version of that.
Yeah. They didn't actually plan to get a kayak. It's just like, crap, the one thing we don't want is the red herring that we left behind. And now all we actually have is a kayak.
If only it was a canoe.
Yeah, exactly. We were hoping for a hovercraft or a paddle boat, but no, we have a kayak.
Yeah. So they've got this plan that they're going to take the kayak to someplace where they can hike really far to get to an ATM. And they also are under the impression that the hunters will think that they are going a totally different direction because they're going to that ATM, but then they're going to circle back and then get back in the kayak and go somewhere else. Kurt, I was also not following the logic of why the hunters were going to think they were headed in a different direction.
I think because they, according to, I think what Arif and Ahmad were likely thinking is that you had this large-ish city nearby. So if they got in, if they hit an ATM just outside of it, they might be headed into the city to try to lose people. So that'd be heading a little bit east. I mean, to the west of the city was this kind of this big lake. And maybe they just didn't think that the hunters would suspect that they'd actually just head back to into the wilderness, that they'd be kind of going from ATM to large city and just kind of keep going in that direction. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I think that this goes off of the, you know, what are your patterns before you're going on the run, right? And so if Arif and Ahmad don't have a lot of, you know, camping in their Facebook posts, then maybe they would assume that these are guys that are going to stay on the grid and they're not actually going to be out camping or out on this lake.
Right.
Yeah, because I think they got the kayak search was a strange one. But I think the thing that really led them to at least start looking in that lake area was that there seemed to be a lot of searches about state parks and information on state parks, too.
So we're seeing the hunters starting to head over in that direction. Is that when we get the hunter saying,
feel the need for a capture?
Yep, that was Vinny and John.
Vinny and John really butchering a very famous movie quote there.
Yeah. And the first part is like exact same intonation. And then where you're waiting for speed. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
Feel the need. The need for a capture.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it's supposed to rhyme what you say there. If it's not speed. It really doesn't make any sense. I feel the need for a capture.
Maybe that's what Centra and Two were saying. We feel the need for Taco Bell. Well, I guess that doesn't rhyme either.
Yeah. So not exactly the catchphrase to go with. I mean, you understand why they get to your time on the run has ended. I think they probably were workshopping a lot of stuff. And that's just ultimately the best that they had, even though that John and Vinny, they didn't get to use their catchphrase that they came up with. And giving new meaning to the term catchphrase when you end up finding the people on the run. So we end up seeing Arif and Ahmad. They need to get a buddy, Liana. And we meet so many interesting people on the road on Hunted. And they meet a buddy in Anderson, South Carolina. So can you tell us a little bit about this gentleman?
Yeah, so I didn't catch his name. I'm just going to call him Ice Cube. But he was... so... He seems to be just hanging out in the parking lot of this strip mall grocery store. Sure. I'm not quite sure. But yeah, he seems like a friendly enough
Hoping
gentleman.
To meet some girls coming out of Taco Bell.
Maybe if he asks them where the interstate is, then he can get their phone number.
Is the interstate that way? Got your number?
Okay, so why did they need him?
So they didn't want to risk the walk back to the lake.
Okay,
so well, they were going to get a ride from.
I think it was a mix of not wanting to risk it, and as they kind of caught on the CCTV footage, they weren't exactly wearing hiking boots, and I think they were just tired too.
Yeah, well, they so, have to say at one point, like, "Oh, I'm so tired."
At one point, they say it at several points.
Yeah. Yeah. They are starting to lose it a little bit as well. But okay. So, as you would expect, anybody who is hanging out in a strip mall parking lot picking up hitchhikers, Liana, he's kind of a weirdo, right? Ice Cube.
Yeah, he's not, I would say, not exactly particularly driven or goal-oriented.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't end up, that's why I'm saying he's not driven, because he doesn't end up driving for a while after they get the ice.
Yeah,
so.
Well, he's a real Mary Scott Valentine, too, because he's like, hey, there's not a reward for you guys, is there? And they're like, nope, absolutely not. There is no reward for Arif and Ahmad.
Yeah, that was great.
Which may be true at this point, that we've not seen the hunters issue a reward for them.
So it's interesting, because I think when the very first episode, one of my critiques, or at least what I was thinking, is that the show doesn't have a sense of humor about itself. But I think as we see the show more and more, I mean, I actually think it does. It's subtle, but it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. And regarding the wanted posters, I'm thinking it seemed to be like both for Troy and Shelley and for Dude Bros that it was like around day 15, actually, when they started doing the wanted posters. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing some of the wanted posters for these two coming down the road soon.
So if they get to the Taco Bell threshold, that's when they put the reward out there.
Exactly.
Or do we think that Ice Cube is on Tinder?
Oh, you think that he saw them?
Well, no, maybe he will.
He's in a Tundra. That's not Tinder. Tundra. Oh, he's driving a Tundra.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. So when Arif and Ahmad, that they are kayaking back again, that they are very excited. They see a bald eagle flying in the sky. They're very excited about that.
Hey, look at that bald eagle.
Yeah.
That's a bald eagle.
this is like a double rainbow outtake.
Kurt, are they just so starved and tired? Have they just lost their mind?
Dehydrated, yeah.
I mean, these poor guys, it's Ramadan. Aren't they fasting?
Yes.
I can't go 3 hours without eating anything without complaining.
Yeah.
I get it. Maybe the bald eagle was a hallucination. Do we think it was real?
I mean, we saw it, right?
I was hungry, though, when I watched the show, so I can't guarantee.
Yeah. You wouldn't have eaten the bald eagle, though, right, Kurt?
No. God, no. Come on.
Hey, that's a bald
eagle. Yeah. That's a bald eagle. America!
Bald eagle, coincidentally, is Arif's new nickname. Was it Arif or Ahmad that shaved his head? Just, I want to make sure I have this right. It's Arif, right? Yeah, because he had the ponytail.
Yeah.
Right? He went from looking for a cheeseburger at the start of this thing to, shaving his head in like some camper bathroom. It's not really how we saw this playing out.
America!
Yeah.
I was getting like shades of like Survivor light from these two in terms of like being dehydrated. Can we make it? We have to get to the island and kind of camp out for the night with no supplies. And these poor guys are roughing it.
Yeah,
I really
like
this team. They've got their camo life vests, their dollar store cowboy hats. They're shaving their heads. These guys are dedicated. I like it.
They are dedicated. So they're in the boat and the hunters decide that they need to take to the air, not like a drone like we saw last week on the pier that ended up bringing down Miles and Will. But we are going to, in Celebrity Apprentice style, get to the chopper.
Yep. And we kind of had the little bit of a fake out here, too. Like we saw with Centurion 2. We think we found the Xterra, and then, cut to commercial. Nope, it's not the Xterra. Here is like, we think we see two guys in a boat. Nope, not two guys in a boat.
Yeah, we really like this when we first saw this with David and Emily with the Enterprise rent-a-car. And we said, oh, wow, what a fake out. What a great moment in the episode. We all applauded the editing choice. But Liana, do you think that Hunted is relying on this too much? The fake out of, we got them. We got them in our sights. It's them. Oh, wait, no, it's not them.
I think at this point now we're used to it, right? It's a little bit of beating a dead horse. Like, okay, guys, we get it. Yeah. We get it.
It worked for me with Centra and 2 in Rob's house, because at that point we didn't know that they weren't there. And so I like that. And I think that what I think worked for me about the David and Emily thing was that seemed like an intentional red herring, because they put his name on a car that he wasn't, a driver on.
Right.
And so whereas these are just kind of like, oh, we think we found it. No, we didn't.
Yeah.
So this falls a little flat here. But at the same time, like, I thought actually that was the right Xterra for the Centurion 2 thing, that they had just come across in traffic. But no, they find it 3 minutes later enjoying a Mexi Melt.
My suggestion on this for a Hunted season two is that if the teams do something to evade the hunters, where it's like, okay, they like, you know, dressed a scarecrow as Arif, and then the hunter's like, okay, we got him in our sights. Let's move, go. We got him. Like, oh, it's a scarecrow. The hunters got duped by the players. I think that that's fine. That is fair to fake us out. But if it's just like, oh, wait, it's them. Oh, wait, no, I was wrong.
You're wrong. Sorry about that.
It's
like that typical, like somebody chasing somebody through a crowd and you think you see the person with the long blonde hair and you like reach out and turn them around, but it's not really them. I think we need more of this with actual people and less with vehicles. We need them to like accost somebody in a crowd and like grab them by the shoulder and just turn out that they're wrong completely. It just looked like them.
So, Liana, where are Arif and Ahmad holed up?
So they seem to be at a campground near the lake inside that camper that they borrowed from the people that are preparing for the apocalypse.
Yeah. Survivalist Linda.
Survivalist Linda. Yes.
Yeah. Kurt, do you feel like that their capture is imminent?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't feel like, for instance, that Sentra in twos was imminent, but I didn't feel it was imminent happening at Rob's house, but they still got captured in this episode. So it's hard to tell, because I think with his head shaved, Arif shaved his head, correct?
Yes.
And he looks a lot different, I think, with his head shaved and his beard gone. So they potentially could, but they seem to have like landed themselves in. You remember the deliverance guy who picked up Troy and Shelley or let them use their phone? It seems like he's maybe having
that movie Deliverance, has he?
It's like they've landed in the middle of like that family reunion or something. Like there's lots of references. Like, we stick out like a sore thumb here. We need to get out of here.
I thought that the hunters were gonna bust in right after Arif shaved his head, oh, come on.
That would be dramatic. I mean, he does look different, but you know, he's still gonna be a brown guy on a kayak in Georgia. They're still gonna have that issue.
But he's bald. If he was like literally halfway done shaving his beard, like the left side of his face, would they have just let him finish before they took him away?
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah, that's funny. So, Liana, how much further do you think Arif and Ahmad are going to get? Do you think that they could go the distance?
I really like this team, but what we've seen with the escalation in technology, I mean, they had a helicopter. Like, what's next? Are we going to get some, I don't know, B-52 bombers or something like that to go after these guys? I mean, the likelihood of a team making it the whole way, I'm really getting nervous.
Yeah. Nanobots. Nanobots are next.
Yeah. That would be good. Kurt, do you have a take on Arif and Ahmad? Do they get it much further?
You know what? It's interesting is that I think between Arif and Ahmad and Lee and Skaggsfield and David and Emily, it's like these are the teams, I think, out of the nine teams that I feel that I'm kind of rooting for. For the other six, I'm kind of, at least currently, for the ones that are captured, was rooting for the hunters. For these three, I'm kind of hoping that they do well. And I'm guessing that's just through kind of subtle manipulation of the editing. And because we've kind of gotten to like them, I have a feeling that they are going to make it at least a couple more episodes.
And Kurt, you mentioned Lee and Skaggsfield, and they were on their bye week this week. So we did not get to see them after we skipped David and Emily, who were back in this episode.
So it makes me wonder if we're going to actually get a bye week for Arif and Ahmad next week.
Yeah, but we're down to only four teams. So I feel like we're sort of running out of teams to do these bye weeks with. But we will see. All right. Before we get into picking up what's going on with English and Steven, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at NatureBox. Now, we saw what happened tonight to Sentra and Two when they decided to go after junk food because it was easy. Because, hey, that's what's available. Had they been thinking ahead, had they thought to start snacking healthy and smarter with NatureBox, none of this would have happened, Kurt.
Yeah, they could have brought along some pistachio power clusters.
And oh, they would those just are the be- best.
They just wouldn't have had to leave the campground. And it was the kind of off the map, off the radar campground. But yeah, it's like so many options. They could have just brought a couple months worth with them and just be good for the entire time.
It's great to take with you or to have in your house because NatureBox makes snacks that actually taste great and are better for you, created with high quality ingredients, free from artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. So you could feel great about snacking and you definitely won't feel like you're going to get sick like Centra did. Liana.
Yeah, well, these are the snacks I'm going to bring with me when I go on season two.
Yeah, Arif and Ahmad could have used some of these in the kayak, especially pistachio power clusters, especially the dark cocoa nom noms. NatureBox made their service even better. You can now order as much as you want, as often as you want, with no minimum purchase required, and you can cancel anytime. Just go to naturebox.com, check out the whole snack catalog, over 100 snacks to choose from, and they're constantly adding new snacks. Choose the ones you want. They deliver them right to your door, just like the Rob that really sucks will do for Centrin 2. Just deliver them right to the hunter's door. With NatureBox, you don't get bored. New snacks every month inspired by real customer feedback. If you try something you don't like, NatureBox replaces it for free. Right now, save even more. NatureBox is offering Rob as a Podcast Fans 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/RHAP. 50% off was also going to be what was going on with Arif's hair when I thought the hunters were going to bust in, for the record. That's 50% off NatureBox with the link naturebox.com/RHAP on your first order. That's naturebox.com/RHAP for 50% off your first order at naturebox.com/RHAP. All right, let's talk about a new team. We mentioned them at the top of the show, Stephen King and English King. And this is a kind of an odd setup. They were on vacation, Liana, when they found out that they had to go on the run.
Yeah, I know that, you know, nobody can see me, but I'm using air quotes when I talk about vacationing.
Yeah.
I really don't think this is a coincidence.
We like you guys as contestants, but you currently live in Oregon. So we have to somehow get you to the Southeast United States. So maybe just plan a trip here and bring your mom along so she can watch the kids.
Sure. Why not? And so we're getting into the fact that who's the control freak here? Is it English King?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
She's a control freak. And I guess that she's going to be handing over control of the family children to a caretaker. Now, whose mom is this? Is it English's mom or this is Stephen's mom?
It's English's mom.
Yeah, English's mom.
Okay, good. Yeah. Because that, I can tell you, is not a great match when the mom is a control freak and then you are handing kids off to the husband's mom. That's especially a very volatile cocktail, Liana.
It's always a problem.
Yes. Okay. So we really get a lot of focus on what's going to be going on with English's mom. And they are visited by the hunters. Liana, which team shows up at the home of English's parents?
This was Team Charlie, I believe, and I don't think that we've seen them before tonight.
Okay, this is Maureen and Evie.
Sure.
I think it was Evie, but yes.
Evie, okay, apologize with all due respect. Okay. I don't want to piss off any of the hunter teams.
No, that's
so
a good idea.
They have a lot of questions, and they are trying to get answers out of English's parents. Find out that English runs the cochlear implant program. Kurt, do you remember when we've talked before about cochlear implants?
You're going to have to remind me here, Rob. I'm going to kick myself when I don't get it.
I believe Nina from Survivor Worlds Apart was very active with the cochlear implants.
That makes sense.
Yes.
And as much as we're kind of being told that she's a control freak, I didn't really see it come out so much this episode. So maybe it's something maybe
what?
That's you thought
were
you did?
Were you watching?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
In terms of being on the run, I didn't really see anything come out. I think maybe interactions with the mom, yes, and as they were packing. But like, once they got out the door, I didn't necessarily see anything. But that's my take on life.
Well, she has her binder, her whole binder of rules.
Yeah.
So do I.
Whoa.
Okay. Well, maybe we shouldn't be asking Kurt about type A personalities.
Yeah.
Right, she's perfectly fine.
I definitely doesn't have a problem.
And I have no kids or anything, and I've got a binder. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, go ahead.
I want to get back to this interrogation because we're starting to ask, you know, really peppering English's mom for, okay, where are they? Where do they go? Did you see them? But it's English's dad that says they left on foot. And I didn't remember precisely how they left. I was like, oh, this is a good decoy lie to really throw them off the scent. Tell them that they left on foot. But it does seem that indeed English and Steven did decide to evade the hunters on foot, Kurt.
Yeah, once they leave the kids with grandma and grandpa, I think the first scene we see of them is them hitchhiking. But we didn't really see kind of how that ended up playing out. Really, we got a lot more focus, I think.
I think
on,
we did.
Well, in terms of how they got to the rainy parking lot. But we spent a lot of time, I think, with a strange amount of time with Team Charlie in terms of, you know, checking up on the ice cream shop where the light blue Subaru was last seen and kind of then, you know, tracking down the, you know, the vacation home and going to visit that and getting, you know, grandma and grandpa on the radar. But Grandpa Randy just seemed willing just to let them know what he knew.
Yeah. Also on the radar is Tropical Storm Colin, which is bearing down on English and Steven, who are still on foot. And Liana, was it just me or did the hunters seem like they took an awful amount of pleasure in the fact that Tropical Storm Colin was going to wreak havoc on English and Steven?
Yes, they were way too excited about the bad weather. They're like, yes, tropical storm. Doesn't matter. Like 45-mile-an-hour winds. People are going to lose their homes, but we're going to get English and Steven.
Yeah, English and Steven are going to be busted. Here's another scary story for you, Stephen King. The story of Tropical Storm Colin.
Oh my gosh. Wait, what if in their escalation of technology, they found a way to control the weather?
Yes. Oh, who at Mission Control is in charge of meteorology? Do we have that in the bios?
Yeah, let me look at the org chart. Hold on one sec.
Yeah. It just kind of fell into the lap of the intern again.
Yeah. Anthony?
Yeah, exactly. This is just,
pushing the wrong buttons on the weather machine.
Right. Nobody seemingly wants to help out English and Steven. Why is that, Kurt?
I don't know. That's the weird part. I mean, I'm guessing we had, you know, obviously footage of them. So there is a camera person there, but it was all kind of seemed to be like shot from like a lower angle. Like the camera was kind of hidden in a bag or something. Or maybe these are just people who didn't want to be on camera because it didn't sound like they were, it didn't look like they were necessarily at the most upstanding of places. I don't know. Nobody, going back to your question earlier about, you know, the milk of human kindness and everybody's going to help everybody in this world. I think except for this one location where English and Steven were at.
Liana, are we seeing it's just that young people get helped out by other people where like middle-aged couple in the rain is not a group that gets a lot of help?
Well, just like with Sentra and 2 with the Taco Bell, we only have an N of 1 for this situation. So maybe we'll have to wait to really put the bookmark in on this story.
If anybody is interested in just the historical context, that Tropical Storm Colin, according to Wikipedia, always accurate, right, Kurt?
There you go.
Okay, it was the stormed into the Gulf of Mexico late on June 5th, 2016. And on June 6th, Colin curved to the north-northeast and intensified slightly to winds of 50 miles per hour. By late on June 7th, Colin transitioned into an extratropical cyclone offshore North Carolina before being absorbed by a frontal boundary the following day. Your time on the run is over, Tropical Storm Colin.
It was an extra super duper cyclone.
Typical Colin. He's the worst.
Colin.
Classic Tropical Storm Colin.
Feel the need. The need for a capture.
Well, interestingly, you know, we're covering Top Chef Charleston on reality TV wrap-ups, and there was a kind of a tropical storm that hit around for one of the episodes where they actually, and it was like the one episode they actually had to run around outside the city. So I'm wondering if there's like some overlap there in terms of the timing of these two things being filmed.
Now, we saw on this past season of Survivor where the survivors had to be evacuated due to a typhoon. Liana, how bad would the weather have to get for Hunted to evacuate the fugitives on the run?
That's a good question. Apparently, a tropical storm is not enough to get them
they
evacuated.
Laugh at them. They laugh at
is them. It what? Yeah. So like what level hurricane then would it have to be? You know, are we talking like 1, 2? I don't know.
Yeah. They chase them into the storm. Chase them into a tornado. They got nowhere else to run. Chase them right in. So we end up seeing them finally finding somebody who is going to let them stay somewhere. Kurt, where do English and Steven end up?
It looks like a shipping container. I mean, it was like one of those like large. They said it was so they approach a guy and he said that this guy, his friend, owns a construction like site outfitting company across the street, and it looked like it was just a bunch of large backyard sheds, but that they didn't hold anything because I think those are what were being sold, and it would be the equivalent of camping out like in an outdoor goods store. So yeah, there's just these sheds, and they get locked into a pretty large one.
Yeah.
And that's the last we see of English and Steven.
Yes. In a tale that redefines horror, Stephen King is locked in a shipping container during a tropical storm with English King and her binder. What's in English King?
Well, I think it's like the tattoos in Prison Break. Like, is it does she have like everything she needs in that binder to get them out of any situation for the next 28
days?
Oh, Kurt,
this is like the setup for Lee and Hilmar's newest escape room of like Tropical Storm Colin is bearing down. You're in a shipping container with English's binder. You have 1 hour to escape before the hunters show up.
It's very minimalist.
I think this is good. I think that's a winner.
There we go.
We have one other story to check in. Finally, the triumphant return of David and Emily. And not only the return of David and Emily, the return of David and Emily's book, Liana. Now, I know that in the spirit of efficient podcasting, you were going to read David's book. What did you discover in your going through David's works?
Yeah, so I definitely read it all from cover to cover. Okay, actually, did look at...
What can you tell us about history?
History. I did look it up. You can actually get the first chapter for free.
Oh.
I opened the PDF once.
Yeah.
So.
Did you check out the acknowledgments?
I don't think I made it that far. I would be horrible on this show.
But somebody has been paying attention. That would be Teresa Payton, head of intelligence. She's reading David's book cover to cover, and they have acknowledgments in there, and they are going to do a deep dive into everybody that's mentioned in the foreword of the book, Kurt.
Yeah, I know last episode we kind of called out Charles the Barber as being MVP of the episode for Operation Cupid. I think for Teresa to take it one for the team and to read the entire autobiography, I think she gets MVP for this episode.
Yes, give her a fishy for that. And yes. So we end up searching for Holly Walden, who just happens to be the person that they end up looking for.
Yeah, I guess they took, this is where I kind of referred to that sushi menu of surveillance options, where they're just kind of going down and checking the list. I think they kind of just took everybody who was in the acknowledgement section. It's like, let's get a tracer on this person, and on this person, and on this person. And I think just one of the people, Hollywood, luckily, had been mentioned in the acknowledgements. And so they're like, let's put a track on her. And her phone's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, over 100 miles from actually where she lives. So that's kind of suspicious.
And the home of Holly Walden is one of the places that is on Emily's old calendar, Liana. Chekhov's calendar just keeps popping back up like a great Stephen King work.
That's right. It always comes back to the calendar.
Yes. Yes. What a great plot device, Emily's calendar.
Yeah.
So they know where to find her. So they send some teams in there. But luckily, in the area, there is somebody else who's willing to help. And there is an old flame of Emily's.
I see what
Emily's
you did there.
Emily's middle school boyfriend. And he is there, Blaze.
For part-time car dealer, part-time American Gladiator.
Yes. Yes. Now, Liana, is Blaze a real name or is this the nickname of the guy that used to sell Emily pot?
I don't know. Maybe he's got the lockbox in the dealership as well. But God, name like Blaze. That's pretty classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Kurt, you think that he was probably going to go with Nitro?
I think that would have made a little bit more sense. So do we think that Blaze still has his job at the car dealership, given that he just kind of sounds like gave them a car off the dealership lot to borrow and let them stay at his boss's cabin? Is he still employed at the car dealership?
That's a very good question. I think that another very good question is that do you think that Blaze still has any sort of a friendship with Emily after hearing Emily completely mock him as he walked away after delivering them a car?
It's good to have boyfriends in middle school that's still like you. Still do favors for you.
Why won't she love him?
Yeah, so this is a very complicated relationship of that we find out that Blaze has a thing for Emily and that she takes advantage of him because she knows that Blaze still likes her like more than a friend, Kurt.
Yeah. Isn't the next show coming up like middle school crush boot camp and they're going to have to kind of work through their feelings for each other?
Yes.
I just like the fact that if you look at the circle of trust of David, you know, you have all of his law school friends, all of these people. Then you look at Emily's. It's like some family members and a boyfriend from middle school.
Yes. And then the humiliation of Blaze continues as, you know, Bavid comes out and is really an imposing figure over Blaze. Like, I feel like that he like gave him a very intimidating handshake to the point where it's like, yeah, you can get Emily free stuff. But just so you know, Emily's with me, Blaze.
Middle school was middle school. Yeah, Blaze.
He should have like pushed Blaze down to the ground also. As he drove away. And we'll be in your boss's cabin all weekend.
Wink.
How do you
wink.
Like that, Blaze?
It's good to have boyfriends in middle school that's still like you. Still do favors for you.
I mean, how desperate is Blaze that this is a girl he liked in middle school and he's still like helping her get free stuff?
Poor Blaze.
I am wishing that we would see like, just like you said, you know, David, we've now tapped a few times into his circle of law school friends. I would really love there for it to be this a network of ex-boyfriends from middle school that we see more and more and more of.
Yeah. Would you like to see maybe some like middle school like feuds rekindled, Kurt, where they're still fighting about things like what about that time in eighth grade that you told me, Emily, that you were going to go out with me? What happened to that time? Like, I was making pasta. I put it on my calendar.
I'm just waiting for like Team Foxtrot to like interrogate Blaze, but Curtis has to settle to like slip a note across the table. Have you seen Emily? You check here for yes, check circle, here for no.
Circle yes or no.
Yeah. That's the only way you can like that's the only way you'll get information out of Blaze is to pass him notes and have him check a box.
So now that we see that David and Emily are really off the grid, we see Andy in the command center just send teams out to that general vicinity. But yeah, they're no closer to catching David and Emily than we were a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they just know that they're kind of in the Vidalia area. Nobody's there. So we see them push Team Echo, which is Allie and Jonathan, out to the Vidalia area. And we also see them push Team Foxtrot, which was our first original ground team of Cortez and Shadow coming into the area as well. So potentially see more of those two teams in the upcoming weeks.
Okay. All right. So David and Emily, I got to feel like that they are a lock for the finale. Liana, you on board with that?
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I don't even think a helicopter could take these guys down.
Yeah, I think pencil in David and Emily, pencil in Lee and Skagfield, Kurt, pencil them in for the finale. They're in there. And it's just going to be a question of if we're going to get Arif and Ahmad in the finale. And I think that Steven and English, I think, are our team that gets busted next week.
Did you pencil it into your calendar?
Yes, put it on the calendar. Put it on Emily's calendar.
we were getting some guff from Team King on Twitter because last week we called them Team One and Done, and here they are having survived the episode.
Oh, yeah. I see that they favorited my tweet that I said, so psyched to see Stephen King on Hunted. What a huge get for this show.
It is the hit new reality show, so yes, it makes sense.
Yes, Fugitive Team _ King. They are on the run, so we'll see. You can see them on social media. Okay, So then I got a couple of questions from our listeners. Felipe writes in, is this Rob the Rob that sucks the most? He was so nonchalant about everything. Either go full Mary Scott Valentine or protect your friends. Don't play the middle. Kurt, fair or unfair?
I think that's fair. I think that's extremely fair. Probably too fair.
Yes.
I feel bad for Rob.
Oh.
I mean, I still don't know why he can't lie, but I don't know. I would tell Jackie anything.
Yes. Yeah. Why? Because she's so intimidating?
Yeah.
She's kind of intimidating.
Now, Liana, I have a question for you. Do you have any middle school crushes, guys that were crushing on you in middle school who would give you a car?
Let me see. Let me pull out my my gel pen and Hello Kitty notebook, which I still have all my middle school crushes on. I don't know. I don't see anyone that works at a car dealership now, so it might not work out.
I wonder if Emily just kept in touch with Blaze for other reasons over the years.
Well, you know, for blazing reasons.
Yeah. Okay. So Byron wants to know, were the hunters looking for George Bluth in the attic, Liana?
That was the first thing that I thought of. Hopefully they can make the towel turban if Sentra and Two are up there to protect their heads. But
I can't believe I didn't think of that. That's classic.
Okay.
Well, they left the spider hole, so.
Yeah, sure.
Joy Davis wants to say, I think the biggest problem with Hunted is that being good at the game wouldn't be good TV. I'm imagining a Ron Swanson-esque character who stays in the forest the entire time, hunts, makes booby traps, etc. Well, I feel like that we did see that earlier this season when we saw the saga of Troy and Shelley. And it was only when Shelley's trapezoid started to hurt was that they decided to go back on the grid. They caught a lucky break with them.
Yeah, but them out in the woods, they were on for what, one episode? It clearly didn't make for exciting footage. Can you imagine them sitting in the editing booth like, okay, more trees, more tents?
Mm-hmm. John Densford writes to us and says, cash me at Taco Bell. How about that? Right?
How about that?
You wouldn't expect it.
Maybe that's the next place she'll get kicked out of to be cash outside.
Yeah. If they could get Cash Me Outside Girl on season two of Hunted, maybe season two of Hunted, Celebrity Hunted. I think that would be good because not only would you have to evade the hunters, but also you have to evade like the paparazzi.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people would be like posting on social media like, hey, just saw Cash Me Outside. She's at Pinkberry.
Plus, maybe we get a physical fight at the end.
Oh, she would fight the hunters. Right. If they tried to come and step to her.
It can be her and her mom.
Yeah. Justin Feinberg wants to know, should Sentra and Two have ordered a simple cheeserito instead of that whole big lunch that they got? Kurt, did they get too big of a lunch?
I don't think there's such thing as too big of a lunch at Taco Bell. Like if you've committed to Taco Bell, you can probably handle any amount of food that you order from there.
John Densford, really rapid fire questions for us. Wants to know, who is the Karen of the week? Liana, should we award a Karen of the week?
Ooh, who would be the Karen of the week? That's a good question.
Karen Eisenberg answers it very plainly. It's easy. It was Rob. WTF, Rob, you had one job.
Yeah.
But okay, wait, no. I'm confused. So what did Rob exactly give away?
He told them that he picked them up and dropped them off at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
And that gave them an area to look at for CCTV footage that I could give them to find evidence of the car. But let's go back to Karen. Karen never did anything wrong.
Yeah.
Karen was just kind of like the one person who raised a lot more questions who's not on our screen nearly long enough. I'd say even the same thing.
Right.
Although Mary Scott Valentine did give up Dude Bros, that Miles and Will, that she also, we did not get enough of her. So I'd say who's like the person this episode that we didn't get enough of that we wanted more of?
If anything, like this award should be called the Angela's Kid. Who is the person that really just crumbled under the interrogation of the hunters and just gave up way too much information?
That was wrong.
I think it might be English King's dad.
Oh,
yeah, I was going to say that,
Randy.
Too.
Randy
King. Randy King of Gabon, I think, is his full name. Okay. Also, John had another question for us. With English being such a big stickler for detail, how did she not see the big effing tropical storm headed her way? That's a fair question, Liana.
I guess, well, it's a physical binder, so she doesn't have the radar, you know, from the Weather Channel in there. Maybe if she had a tablet, but, you know, you can't use technology, so.
Or a tabulator.
Yeah, that's yeah, there you go. I mean, that's kind of like a big thing. She has a fine attention to detail. It's those big looming things that cover entire states that she kind of misses.
Yeah, I'm not that impressed with the attention to detail that English King has. She had to go on the run while they were on vacation. She missed the tropical storm Colin, which was bearing down on their location like an hour after they went on the run. So,
Colin's the worst.
I don't know. They didn't work out. They didn't have anybody pick them up from the house. They left on foot.
Yeah, we'll see how well this goes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Two and done.
Yes. I don't think it'll be a long reign for the King family on the run. Okay. So only 3 weeks left to go of Hunted season one. Any big picture thoughts from you guys after tonight's show?
I think it's just more for me, the fact that we've got four teams left. We've got, like you said, three episodes. And so I think we're going to start being able to tell a consistent story with a smaller and smaller group of people. And so I think we're going to we're going to be getting more information about each of these teams every episode. I'm actually looking forward to that.
Liana, are you still feeling good about The Hunted?
Yeah, I'm still feeling good about The Hunted. I'm interested to see at the end, to kind of look back at the editing throughout this season. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm really confused about how I feel with the, you know, we're only seeing a couple teams at once and certain teams only, you know, are caught in one episode. I guess I just get confused with the timeline of everything. So I'm not sure how they could improve necessarily on it, but, you know, overall still positive.
Okay. All right. Well, do we have a hashtag for tonight?
I had one written down here. I want to go with, for some reason, to Keto Central, but what about not that ice cube?
Not that ice cube? Sure. Not the ice cube that drives the red tundra around. Okay. The new breakout star, the Mary Scott Valentine of this week on Hunted. All right. So lots of fun here tonight, once again, with both of you. Of course, you could follow Kurt Clark on Twitter at Kurt Clark. Kurt, what have you been working on the podcast front?
Well, Alex Kidwell and I just wrapped up our 5-week coverage of Celebrity Big Brother UK this week. And so that is, if anybody kind of wants to go back and binge listen, all 5 episodes are there. And we are doing our continuing coverage of Top Chef in our Top Chef judges table. Again, that's myself, Antonio Mazzaro, Josh Wiggler, and Mike Bloom over on Reality TV Wrap-Ups.
Okay, of course, follow Kurt on Twitter, at Kurt Clark. And then, Liana, you and I have a big podcast coming up that is going to be dropping on Monday. Of course, that I have 20 Survivor Game Changer previews dropping, where we did a deep dive into each one of the people named today who are going to be competing in Survivor Game Changers. And on this upcoming Monday, you and I will be talking about the great 4-time Survivor now, Ceree Fields.
I know. That's crazy. I didn't even know she was going to be on the show until today. Yeah. It was very serendipitous.
Well, it was a busy day for me today.
That.
It was a very busy day today. I had a lot of recording to do. So I am very happy with how that came out. And so that is going to be part of our Monday, Wednesday, Friday Survivor Game Changer preview series. So look for that to kick off next week. And of course, we will be back once again to talk about Hunted. I have a lot of podcasts that I'm going to be dropping on you guys in a very short amount of time. I have a Survivor Game Changers preview, everything you need to know about the Game Changers cast. That was recorded with Josh Wiggler. We're going to be dropping that on Thursday morning sometime. And then I also have a special season 34 draft, which is going to be coming up. That should be a lot of fun for you guys to hear. And then the first of our Game Changer previews will probably go up on Friday. So excited for this content to start rolling out. Really excited to officially be in the Survivor preseason. So happy Survivor preseason kickoff to you both. And if you missed it today on the Survivor Facebook page, you can check out myself, Josh Wiggler, and Hannah Shapiro taking part in a panel talking about everything from Survivor 34. That was a lot of fun to do. It looks really cool the way that they set it up. Very fancy. So you can check that out on the Survivor Facebook page. And don't worry that the hunters are not trying to trick you if you like any of the content there on the Survivor Facebook page. Okay. Thanks so much again to everybody who's been enjoying these Hunted podcasts. I love hearing from you guys about how you're enjoying the show. We look forward to your comments on robisatwebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.